Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast. This is Garth Nelson.
And Jen Barr. Last week was a little bit late, though.
Last week was a little late.
I think it went up yesterday.
Oh, wow. All right, well, it still happened in the normal week, so...
Well, we did it weekly.
Yes. And in the whole grand scheme of things, it's still happening within the week. It should have been happening.
Oh, so, right.
So it's sort of weekly.
Yeah, sort of.
It's semi-weekly, which is an entirely different meaning, but we can still say it. As if we understand English. As if we control English.
Semi as in mostly and not halfly.
Yes. Wow. Wow, you're pretty on top of English still for having been in this country as long as you have.
I'm getting better.
You're getting better again with English?
No. My English is getting worse, but my little funny things are getting better.
Ah, yes. You beat me at my own thing today. That was disappointing. To lose at my own breaking English game.
Well, Garth has an iPhone, so his texts don't always come up exactly the way they should.
Especially when, you're trying to get home for, like, the last 4 or 5 hours. But the guy who owns the bar is like, no, you can't go home because I can't go home. Because if I go home, my wife is going to be all over me. Oh. So then he's like... Wow. Like, every time, like, okay, it's time for me to go, he's like, oh, look, this beer just opened. I guess you have to drink it. Like, oh, God. So I'm stuck at the Black Lion until 6 in the morning because Scott doesn't want to go home.
Well, I got a free drink last night.
A free... Did you get, like, 12 free drinks?
No.
Yeah, see?
But...
How did you get a free drink last night?
I used my mind.
Really?
It was amazing.
Wow.
So there's this little, like, izakaya, which is a Japanese drinking place.
Uh-huh.
Like, basically the Japanese version of kind of a bar.
Near your house?
Yeah, there's one near my house. It looks like a bar, though. It's set up like a bar. So when I went there, I thought it was a bar. But they're like, no, this is an izakaya. So it just means the food they serve is mostly Japanese style. And
right.
All the drinks they have are what they would have at a normal izakaya. So they only have, like, beer, whiskey, sake, things like that. They don't have, like, all the cocktails that bars usually have. So I found that, and they know me as Luna Mama, because my dog's name is Luna. So they never knew my name, they never knew what I did, but I guess, like, around the town, like, people know me because I'm often at the vet and stuff, and they have a lot of customers that have dogs, so everybody seems to know me for some reason there.
You know, actually, I have to admit, just to break into your story, when I was out walking your dogs while you were in Malaysia, people knew, they're like, well, what are you doing with Jen's dogs? Like, well, she's in Malaysia. Actually, the first guy that I ran into didn't know your dogs, but then he knew this other guy that ran into me. He's like, oh, this is Holly and Luna. It's like, oh, wow.
Did that guy have a border collie?
He...
A huge dog and then a border collie, too?
I don't think he had 2 dogs.
Oh, okay.
I think he just had 1 dog. I forget what it was, though. His dog was very friendly, and the other guy's dog was very small and was scared of the whole group.
Oh, but so the one was kind of big. Did it kind of look like Luna color-wise?
But it was bigger? Yeah. It was a much bigger dog, yes.
And he had, like, a cowboy kind of hat on? Did that guy show up?
Oh, yes, I think he had
a
cowboy
hat. So that's the first guy that was at the bar, actually.
Oh, really?
His dog's name is Lucky, and that dog's actually police
Lucky.
Dog. Yeah, it's police dog trained.
Really?
Yeah, so that's how they found out, like, we were talking about dogs and stuff the first time I went there.
Uh-huh.
So then after that, I guess the bartender, or the izakaya tender, he's always telling people, like, oh, we have a customer, and she's blonde, and she has these two cute dogs, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I've seen her at the vet, or I've seen her walking her dogs. So I guess I'm kind of known around there. But so I went, actually, the sign said closed, but I saw 2 people at the bar, and I was like, maybe they'll let me in. And I had 500 yen left in my pocket, which is exactly how much the drinks are there.
So good, like, for one drink. Yeah.
Can I just get one? And they said, yeah, sure. So I went in, had my one drink, and we started doing puzzles. In Japanese, called nazo-nazo. So they're, like, you know, little things that usually you tell kids. It's like a little mystery they have to try and solve. And so I told a... Or they're talking about Japanese jokes and if they translate to foreigners. And so I said, well, I knew these 2 nazo-nazo, and Kaori Shimizu didn't, because I was in Tochigi for the weekend with Kaori Shimizu, and we were drinking afterwards with some of the customers at the place we were working at. And so they got into those, and she was so mad that I got them, and she didn't.
These are generally well-known nazo-nazo, or
yeah.
It was something that somebody said, and you figured it out?
Yeah, they're like little riddles. I mean, we have them in English, too.
Oh, okay.
They're like little riddles where you say something, and it's a play on words or something.
You
have to guess what the meaning is. And
she couldn't get it.
Yeah, so I got them before her. And So
well,
I
gave
she's
going to start teasing me. Oh, no, I'm really sorry.
So I got a couple of those, and then there, one of them was so good. He said, okay, I'm buying you a drink for that.
Wow.
And this guy is a Mahjong player.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he said that one of his friends just became a pro on Tenho. I didn't know that they had internet-specific pros on Tenho.
Really?
Until now, wow. But so... Yeah, so we might get a game going with him
that
in the near future.
That sounds like fun, yes.
Yeah.
Let's get some peeps. More games, more games.
So Garth and I are more getting fun. Free drinks all over Tokyo.
Yeah. Well, yes, most of my free drinks happen at the Black Lion when there's no other customers left. And it's just like, Garth, you have to stay.
Wow, my free drinks often happen at the Black Lion as well.
Oh, yes, but we might not want to talk about that.
I usually Troy pays for me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't generally
those
go
free drinks,
unless,
yes.
Unless Troy calls me out to go there.
Well, yes, some of you may be wondering why we haven't been talking about Mahjong at all in the first few minutes of our podcast. For one, it could be the fact that there really hasn't been much Mahjong going on. This is what they call Golden Week in Japan. It's a group of, what, four or five holidays that all happen to fall within the same seven-day period.
Right.
So a lot of people just end up taking kind of the whole week off. And it's interesting because Tokyo becomes a total ghost town.
Yeah.
There's nobody in Tokyo. It's really fun to ride your bike around during Golden Week.
There's tons of people on the freeway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I don't ride my bike on the freeway.
Oh, maybe you should.
Yeah. That's true, actually. With tons of people on the freeway, I could probably just jump on there and, you know, I'd be going faster than the cars anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, the rest of Tokyo is dead, and except for the Mahjong parlors. I can't believe how much action there was at the Mahjong
right.
parlors the last couple days. I guess the people that do stay in Tokyo, all that's left to do is go play Mahjong.
The people that...
and kick our asses.
Yes.
Yes. You had kind of a rough day at Sentenbo in Kinchicho yesterday, yes?
Yeah, well... I don't know, should we just go through our Golden Weeks, or...?
Okay, sure, yes. Okay. What did you do for Golden Week?
Well, I started by going to Tochigi,
uh-huh.
to Utsunomiya, Kaori Shimizu, who we talk about a lot. She's probably my favorite senpai in the whole league. Senpai is like your elder.
Mentor or elder,
kind of,
yeah.
So she always calls me if there's like a good nice. Job or something, so I went up there and we played at a parlor. It was like a tournament at a parlor, so we played at that, and then we went to eat with them afterwards, and that was really fun. I drove up, took my dogs. Nice. One of the guys at the bar we go to there, he took my dogs in for the weekend.
Very nice.
And then the next day we had actually a private qualifier for the World Series of Mahjong Reach event.
Very nice.
Yep, so we have one more. That's three qualifiers so far.
That we've had so far.
Yep.
Was the name that won a name that we know? Or?
No, actually two pros played. Takahashi, who is in the North Kanto League,
uh-huh.
he played, and he also goes to Kono's study sessions.
Ah,
and
okay.
He's a
Kenshukai-er. He's a study.
Yeah. Well, he's already been a pro for uh-huh. I think 2 years.
But he's still going to the study sessions.
Well, Kono has a few different study
oh,
sessions,
okay.
so he's not going to the one for prospective pros, but he goes
okay.
to one that he does in Tochigi.
Kono does one in Tochigi.
I think so. It's not like a really far. It's just about probably half an hour from here or something. Tochigi is pretty close.
Wow. By Shinkansen, I guess, obviously.
I think so, yeah. Because actually the first time that you and I went to Utsunomiya to see Kaori, that was the first time we actually hung out with her.
Right.
Kono came as well, and he was picked up by this guy and a few other guys because they had a study session the next day.
You know that Kono, he seems to be pretty large and in charge of a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, he has a lot of little kohais there, a lot of people learning from him. But so he played, and then also Yu Takehana, who is writing columns for us
he
now.
He played on Saturday.
It was Monday.
Monday, oh wow.
Kaori and I had our job on Sunday, and then we had the private tournament on Monday.
That's interesting because Kono and I and a few people got together at the Black Lion on Sunday to play poker.
Oh.
Kono and a few people, a few other Mahjong players that he knows from Renmei and other places that we actually played with a little bit for the World Series of Mahjong practice sessions 2 years ago. They came and played a little bit of poker on Sunday. We had a good, fun little round of poker at the Black Lion in Meguro on Sunday.
Oh, and I have to say, this private tournament was not in Utsunomiya.
It was in.
It was in a different place. It's a secret. It was a private tournament, and we just have to make sure that that's clear. So we won't be reporting on it or anything, but there will be one more player. Yeah.
You had to know the speakeasy code.
Yeah, well, I ran it, and Kaori came, but she didn't play in it. So we had 12 participants. So.
Wow, very nice.
Yep.
Well done.
And, yeah.
Sounds like a full weekend.
It was, and then I came back, and what did I do? I played Mahjong.
Yes, it's been a solid few days of Mahjong for me too. I played at Kinchicho Sentenbo and Ochanomizu Sentenbo.
Wow.
My Kinchicho Sentenbo day was actually not bad, but holy cow, I had a crappy day yesterday.
Yeah.
I lost and I lost and I lost, and I might have turned my salary into just about the same thing you did had I not been playing a cheaper rate.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was playing 50 yen most of the time, and you were playing 20, 30.
Right, 20 and 30. So I did manage to salvage some of my salary.
Yeah. Man, I had a rough time.
How many games did you play yesterday?
I only played, like, 7 or something, too.
It was really?
I didn't play very many games at all, but I just... I think I got third place once.
Uh-huh. Wow, the last couple of days, yesterday and the day before, I played I think 14 or 15 games yesterday, and these are not, you know, they're half games, and I played 13 games on Tuesday.
Did we say our names at the beginning?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I'm sorry. Producer Troy's roommate just walked in with our drinks, and so I was wondering,
yes.
Because we always say Producer Troy, too, but since...
Yes, but we have a special extra special producer today.
Right.
Who's handing out special drinks.
Thank you!
Thanks.
He's just smiling. He's afraid to make any noise. Thank you so much.
Yes, this is as about professional as it gets. these peeps here.
Well, it is midnight.
Yes.
No, actually, it's 1 a.m. here where we are in
Tokyo.
Good
thing I'm on my bike.
Okay, so you were losing at Sentenbo.
Yeah, I lost pretty big yesterday. But, you know, I was only playing 20-30 yen, so I was able to... Oops, well, there goes my mic.
This is turning into a dumpster fire. Let's get back on track.
Right. So I had kind of a rough day at Sentenbo. I don't know. Speaking of rough days.
Yeah.
Do you have any tricks or ways that you try to pull yourself out?
Well, you'd think if I did, I would have used that yesterday, but... One thing I've tried is changing the music. I've actually gotten them to change the music in the parlor for me. I don't know if it helped or not. I usually try and take a break. I lost the first 3 games in a row.
Uh-huh.
And the guy to my right, we had just started a new table. The guy to my right, after that, he won all 3 games. And then after that, he won 3 or 4 more games all in a row.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of, that happens sometimes.
So I took a break. I was like, you know, we can't always do that when we're working at the parlors.
Right.
Because sometimes there's not enough people to play.
Right.
This time there were the other 3... members, the other 3 staff members, they weren't playing. So I asked the kind of boss of the day, I said, you know, can I take a break? Just give me one game off. So I did that, and it did not help at all.
Yeah, you know, this is something, like, I had the same problem yesterday, except that there was no time to take a break. And the thing about yesterday... Two days ago, Tuesday, it was really busy, and I had to play all day because there were customers all day.
Mm.
Yesterday, it was really busy, except that I had to play all day because there were not customers all day. There was always 1 or 2 customers.
Gotcha.
And so I was pretty much playing... I played basically the entire day, 10 hours.
Right.
And, man, I just could not get a break. And I wonder sometimes how I get into these phases or cycles. It's just a cycle of downness where I start losing and then I just cannot turn it around. And I think as professional players, that is something we need to figure out how to do. Because it's, this, you know, it's besides the fact that, you know, it sucks to lose. As a professional, we should be able to turn that around at some point.
Right. Or at least, you know, find a way to minimize your losses. That's a huge thing. I guess maybe one way is just to not throw other players winners, to just be very conscious of that.
To just stop, to not try to win anymore, but just try to not actually take last place.
Well, that's, you know, one thing to do, at least for a couple games, just to kind of minimize your losses.
Just try to change the pace of things so that you're actually not doing the same thing that you've done the last five games to lose.
Right. When we have events at the arcades for Mahjong Fight Club, this question always gets asked. That's always in the box of questions.
How do you turn around a big losing streak?
Right. And Kojima-sensei, Takeo Kojima, his answer was, just do everything menzen. So don't pon or chi anything. And just build your hand, you know, like, completely concealed. And eventually it will turn around. But, you know, his normal playing style is mostly concealed.
Yeah, he tends to be pretty concealed anyway, huh?
Right. So, I mean, that will work for him. If that's not your normal playing style, it might work, it might not work.
That is good advice, absolutely.
One time, when we were doing the interview with Shigekazu Moriyama, who's our shisho, our mentor, he said that the one player that he thought was really good, that player has since passed away, but he said that the reason, or the moment that he thought he was really good is this guy was losing, and he was losing a lot in the game, and he had a hand where... I think maybe he... Did he reach? And his winner came out.
And he didn't...
And he let it go. And then he drew his winner again himself. And it was four concealed triples. It was something like that. Oh. Something crazy like that.
I think I remember hearing this story too.
Yeah.
And that changed... That totally changed...
And then he just won the rest of the day.
That is pretty huge.
That is huge. And I don't know if I can recommend letting... Because that's going to be reach all triples, three concealed triples.
Which is at least 8,000 points. Or if it's your turn as dealer, 12,000 points.
Right. And then if you have any Dota at all,
right,
it's going
to... Or any other hand points in there. Yeah. Like maybe a hand point, a value tile.
Right.
Or something.
Right. So I don't know if I can recommend that, but that's, you know, something that
something that worked for somebody.
Yeah. Or it's something that made Moriyama think that he was really good. Like, that guy knew what he was doing.
He certainly, yeah. Not that you can say, like, okay, look, this is something you should always do in this situation. You know, if you're in this situation, do this and it'll work. But that guy found something that worked for him. And you have to think, all right, look, you know, maybe just because this may not be the best way to play all the time, to find something that works is a... You know, it means you're a successful player. You know how to change the game, or to play the game so that you can manage to win.
Right. I had to put my hat back on.
I know, yeah. It's just that you don't want to let people see your hair.
Yeah. This is my hide my tired eyes hat. I'm bit tired.
Oh, I need a hat. All right. So that's what we did this week. We wanted to talk about we want to talk about customers.
Yes.
Speaking of the places that we've been playing the last couple days.
Right, because we've been spending a lot of time working in parlors lately, and you get some funny characters.
There are a lot of interesting characters.
And it's Golden Week, so let's have fun.
Yes.
Forget about Mahjong.
Yes. Forget about Mahjong. Let's talk about Mahjong players.
Right.
Yes, it's funny, I don't know that I have that many funny customers, like, actually, the customer is always funny. Definitely a lot of annoying customers. the other day, it's like, I was at a table where one player had reached, another player had pwned Dorda after that guy reached, the current dealer had pwned Dorda after that, and then another player was clearly going for a flush or half flush in the characters.
Right.
And I had 45,000 points. So I was way in the lead. And but, you know, I don't want to throw... I can easily throw a 12,000 point hand to the dealer who has Dora Pon. I can easily throw another 12,000 point hand to this guy who looks like he's going for a half flush or flush in the characters. And it was definitely a half flush because he had also pawned the red dragon. And it also pawned another thing in the characters, which meant that, you know, if he had all triples and the half flush and two more value tiles things, that's also 12,000 points, you know. So 12,000 points is a fairly large possibility. Plus there's the guy that reached, you know.
Right.
So it's tough to find something that I can throw away.
Right.
You know, and so I'm thinking every time, and all of a sudden this guy just busts out with, like, dude, what? Why are you thinking so long all the time? You know, you're way in the lead. You're supposed to be a pro. Like, aren't you a pro? Like,
oh my God.
Shouldn't you be able to throw away a little bit faster than that? And this is, and, oh no, actually, he was the guy who had thrown Dora to allow the dealer to pawn. And it's like, well, dude, you know, God, I wanted to reach across the table and wrangle his, strangle him, you know? But I gave him the big old stink eye, and because I really, after having gotten a little talking to from our boss for not being quite as level-headed in other games that I've lost in the past, I thought it would be best to just hold my tongue instead of saying, you know what, you can shut the F up, you jerk off, loudmouth piece of Dorda throwing Nimrod.
My customers are a bit more tame. Well, they're just more fun.
Yeah, in general, most of the customers are pretty fun.
Yeah.
But this guy was just an asshole. Come on, dude.
Sorry.
I mean, I've got two. I've got a reach. I've got a Dora Pon from the dealer, and I've got you going off in characters. You know. And you know, sorry if I'm giving you a little bit of respect and thinking maybe you actually have a hand over there. And that's what I really wanted to say. Okay. Can I just blow you off? Is that what you're telling me? All this time that I've been respecting you as a player, yeah. Should I think that you are, in fact, the idiot that you are and just throw whatever characters at you because you don't have the hand to back it up? Yeah, so I bit my tongue and I did win the game, but it was annoying. Annoying customer. How about a funny story from you?
Well, there's one customer. Actually, he's one of my favorite customers in Kinshicho.
Mm-hmm.
And he always leaves early because he has to walk his dog, but I think that he only owns one shirt.
Oh, yes.
He always has the exact same shirt. And it's like something about Los Angeles or something. So it's something that I noticed, right? Because I was reading the English, something about Los Angeles, something about if you live in Los Angeles, you're, yes. I don't know, something
weird. He walks in and you're like, hey, it's the Los Angeles shirt guy.
That's exactly what I'm thinking every time. I've never seen him, and I've seen him more than once in the same week.
Uh-huh.
I've seen him like 2 days in a row.
Wow.
He still has that Los Angeles. I don't know if it's his lucky shirt or...
That reminds me of my differential equations professor in university. He was famous for being a little bit stinky.
Well, I never noticed the smell across the table, so it hasn't gotten that bad.
He does at least wash it every night then, apparently.
It's possible. I don't know. I mean, most people here don't have dryers, so I don't know if he could wash it every night, but maybe he just
has five.
Yeah, the same. Sure, and maybe he got it at a triathlon or something.
Oh, God, that's
I don't
funny.
Know. And then yesterday, when I walked in to Kinshicho, I always go to each table and say hello when I get there. Like,
oh, wow, look at you.
Like, hello, thanks for coming. You know, yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
Wow, I should be doing that too, huh, probably.
Well, I had to do that at my parlor.
Uh-huh.
And actually, we called every customer by name when we said hello, too, when we said the greetings. So I don't do that at Kinshicho, but I just say,
wow,
hello, I'm here. It's something they do at, like, welcome, and, you know, some parlors do that. So I do that when I go in, and I always say bye before I leave, but... I walked in, and right from the moment I walked in, there's this guy with these really thick glasses. And he's kind of old, and he's one of those guys who wears his pants up to, like, his chest. Like, he has, like, deodorant stains on the sides of his pants. But that's how high they were.
Wow.
Yeah, they're really high pants, and he's kind of small, and he just looks at me. Like, he can't quite see through his glasses, or he doesn't know if they're playing a trick on him and his mouth is open, like, what are you? It was really, it was like, what are you? And so I said, hello, you know, thanks for coming today.
This is in Kinshcho?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't remember this guy.
And then, it's the first time I've ever seen him.
Oh, okay, this was yesterday, okay.
And then, he can't even look at his hand. He's just staring at me, like, what are you saying? And then I guess afterwards he asked, there was a staff member at the table at the time and said, do you guys always say hi when you start playing? And so I couldn't tell if he was, like, just confused because I was saying hello or confused because I was a blonde in the parlor or maybe... I don't think he knew who I was, but it's possible that he knew who I was, and he was just so surprised that I was there. That really stood out. I just laughed the whole time because he kept looking over at me too when I was standing behind the counter.
You know, I don't remember seeing that many funny customers myself at Kinshcho. The place that I always had the most fun with just goofy customers was in at a place that I used to just go by myself and play in Shibuya.
Right.
It's called Dion. It's a little hole in the wall, just off Sentagai, and the place is ancient, and I think probably the guys that play there have been playing there. There's a good chance they may have been playing there since before both of us were born. There are some really, really old players in there, and there's some younger players in there too, but they pretty much all know each other, and it's all a big group of guys that like. It's a free mahjong parlor, and yet pretty much everybody knows each other, and they're all just joking around all the time. And there were a couple of serious characters in there. the one that always just I really had to it was all I could do to control myself and not burst out laughing was this guy who talked to himself throughout the entire game. All the time in this voice that was just not quite, I mean, it was audible, but it was just not quite understandable. Like, he's just going off the entire game. Seriously, after 10 minutes, you're like, oh, dude, how can you keep talking to yourself?
Did you get thirsty?
I know. Seriously, he would just talk to himself the entire game. It reminds me of the Russian girls that come to all the TV shoots that we do, who just talk the entire shoot. You know, they get there at 7 in the morning, and they talk straight through till 10 at night. You're just all, wow, how can you just keep talking nonstop? And and when he said the score, too, suddenly he would be just understandable enough to understand the score. But he'd be talking about how Ron, 3,000, 6,000. It's like, oh my god! Like, wow! How do you know to like suddenly make that understand? I guess you're like this all this time. You're speaking your own little language to yourself, and then you just decide that we have to understand. So you speak to us so that we can understand. That guy was awesome.
I don't know why you're talking about the Russian girls, but when I'm with you, pretty much we never ever stop talking.
All right. Yes. But you know, that's just us being friends. This guy, he's not with... Well,
no,
he's
no,
with,
I was talking about the Russian girls on
the Russian
on
girls, yes.
Shoot, because, you know, they get together for the jobs and then...
I know, but it's... I mean, they talk straight through the shooting part, too. Like, the actor is like all... Or the director is like all, okay, and action! And their voice goes down a little bit, and they're talking like this, and then they're cut, and then they just go back to talking like normal, like, right? And you're still, dude, how can you guys keep talking? I think they must just get shut in their houses by their husbands all the time that they're not on these jobs, and then they get out and they're like, oh my god, people I can finally talk to who speak Russian, and they meet all their Russian girlfriends and they just go off.
By the way, Garth is not racist against Russian guys.
No, well, because they don't talk to each other in Russian the whole time.
Just so you guys know, because I think we have one or two listeners that speak Russian.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying, yeah, I'm amazed at the Russian girls who come over here. And I think they're mostly married to Japanese guys. And I think they probably just don't have anybody to speak Russian to. And they get on these jobs, and there are the other Russian girls on the jobs, and they just go off like this guy. Well, actually, but they have somebody to talk to. This guy at the mahjong parlor, he was just talking to himself. Or if he was talking to us, he never let us get a word in, and because he never actually let us understand any of the words that he was saying until he was telling us how much we had to pay him. Let's see. Do you have any other funny customers from like when you were working in Hachioji, perhaps?
When I had the parlor, everyone was really pretty normal there. Yeah, there was one guy. I was playing, and he was waiting to play. So he was gonna basically take my spot when I stood up. And I think it was the last hand or the second to last hand, and I was the dealer, and I was in last place. And I won a hand, and it continued. And afterwards, he said, "Wow, I've never seen a staff member make a customer wait like that before." And this guy's like a big fan of mine. So he's just really straightforward. Like, he didn't, like, dislike me for it or anything. He was just really straightforward. And I said, "Well, I'm not a staff member."
That'll show him. Put him in his place.
He's like, "Man, you know, the staff members have to play so that the customers can play." And because there are a lot of people who have their own rules about how staff members should play so that the customers
can
have a little bit of an advantage and fun. And
I don't think I want to work in any of those mahjong parlors. I want to go out and kill the customer. And I expect them to do the same to me. And I don't see why. If we're all out there to kill each other, I don't know why I have to let them have an advantage.
Right. Well, especially at that parlor, I was getting paid by the hour, but I was not getting my game fee back. And when you're paying the game fee, it's really hard to keep hold to your even just your paycheck. Because if I play one game an hour, which usually you play more than one game an hour, usually it's like one and a half or so per hour, then you know that's already half of what I'm getting paid per hour. So it's really, you really have to win to eat.
Absolutely.
And you know they're coming in to play for fun, so I don't mind, like, you know, having good manners and stuff, but
you do want everybody to have fun, but you know what, you want everybody to be playing their serious game too.
Right.
Should be able to play your serious game.
Right.
So. Getting back to the guys at Dion.
Yeah, those sound way more fun than mine. I think I told you all the customer stories that I remember. Okay. Yeah.
These guys, there were a couple guys that I would play with late at night when I used to go there, and you know, when I would start playing at 12 at night after I'd had a few beers, and I was like, I would play mahjong, and I'd go in there and play. And there's these other guys that, like, I think they worked in restaurants, or they did something. They were some kind of managers for restaurants or the maybe shadier sort of restaurant drinking places in Shibuya. And they were so excited to teach me all of the slang that they knew for each mahjong tile.
And well, that's where you got it from.
Yes, and I'm sorry I can't teach any of them to you over the podcast here, because they're all to do with sex. Like, every single one of them had to do with sex, except for peperoncino. Which is just fun to say, because the north wind in Japanese is called pei, and whenever they threw it out, they would always say peperoncino.
Oh, that's where you got it from. You were really famous for that in the mahjong club that we were in before we joined JPML.
Really?
Yeah. I would play with them sometimes. I started out in a mahjong club called Himawari, which means sunflower. It was like a bunch of... It was mostly university students, and they were from all different schools. And then Garth ended up joining as well. Mm. Like, right after we met and started playing, I called you to a couple sets that we were playing with them. Mm-hmm. One time I went to play with them, and it was the other two girls that were in there that came in after us, and they left before us. But I was playing with them, and they said, "Oh, you know what Garth says when he throws away north? Peperoncino." You were famous for it.
Wow, it was just so much fun to say, because you say pay like you're saying pay, and then you say peperoncino, and then you just, it's just
that
fun.
Was back when you played guys mahjong, like boys mahjong.
Yes,
like
silly
not,
boy mahjong.
Not the way that you're playing, but I remember the first time that we played with Moriyama, like as a set, like, man, we had no idea like how special that was.
No kidding.
At the time, but we had a home game basically with our mentor Moriyama and a guy from Kindai Mahjong.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We were just like in the office one time, and we're like, "Hey, let's play a set." Yeah. I don't know why I was like, I think it was me. I was like, "Let's play a set."
We can invite that guy to go play mahjong with us.
So
we're that important.
Yeah, and he came, and then I remember one hand that you won. You go, "Ron," And you're like, oh, so cheap. And then, like, he was looking, and you still didn't say the score, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, man, you just say everything that does not matter, don't you? Like, that was the first time that he ever got mad. Well, he didn't, like, wasn't angry,
but he was.
He ever scolded you about anything.
Yes, the first in a long series of scoldings, which I probably deserve. Oh, one other nickname that we can give that I got from, actually from some different customers, is Torty, the nickname for the one of bamboos.
Right.
Looks like a bird, and the way that you say bird in Japanese is Torty.
Right.
So if you, whenever you throw away the bird, you can just say Torty, Torty.
You give him the bird.
Yes. Or you can say, here's your bird. Here's the bird. Yes, so that's the nickname. One other story that I will never, ever forget, and I don't really know if this is as funny in English. It just somehow, in Japanese, it sounds so funny to me. But I'm playing at that same place in Shibuya, and all of a sudden, at the table behind me, I kind of feel the guy right next to the chair behind me lean forward, and then from out of his rear comes fruit, and everybody in the mahjong parlor is just like, oh my god. Everybody turns around and looks at that table, and then one of the other old guys at the same table with him is like, wow, sounds great, you know. Like in Japanese it's like all "ee-ne." Eh. Like, I don't really know how to translate except for like "sounds great" or like "way to go, man." And then, you know, this other guy at the table is like, "ee-ne janendayo," which like, is like, oh dude, yeah,
it's not great, what are you talking about?
It's like awful, dude. And somehow just like the way that whole thing just panned out, played out, it was just so funny. It is definitely one of my lifelong memories of mahjong. Some guy just leaning forward to let out the huge frumpy. And then the other guys at the table just, you know, the one guy complimenting him on it, and then the other guy saying, dude, how can you compliment that? It was pretty awesome.
Yes, you have many more, I think, funny mahjong parlor stories than I do. I became a pro pretty quickly after starting to play, so I haven't played quite as many underground parlors as you have. But
well, yeah, that's the thing. You don't have to be a pro when you just go out and play by yourself.
Right.
You can go to these places and just be your normal self.
No, I know that. I mean, I'm just saying that I was already busy playing other places.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah.
But I still, you know, actually, I have to admit, I haven't been to that place in a long time. And the big reason I haven't been to that place is because the last time I went, they had switched out all of their tables for Ultima tables. Which
the ones that have the automatic hand.
Which I still, I'm not entirely sure. But I do have to say, the last time I lost badly, for example, on 2 days ago at...
That's not a good thing to do while you're podcasting, guys.
Oh, yeah. No chip riffling.
Poker chips.
But the chips are right there. How am I not supposed to riffle them? All right. But, yes.
Just like that.
As I am
good
now
job.
Not riffling the chips. I suddenly on Tuesday, it was one of those experiences where everybody had a ready hand on like the third or fourth draw, and just like, oh dude, done in by the Ultima tables again. And I don't know, I have to admit, I haven't felt so much like that in the last few months. So maybe you know, when I had felt like that in the months before that, perhaps I was just perceiving, you know, my own losses as being, you know, I was attributing them to something that was not really a valid explanation. But man, it's really frustrating when just game after game, hand after hand, everybody is ready on like the fourth draw, and you're still trying to put your hand together, and you throw somebody's winner, which is already 8,000 points, and you're like, oh, dude, how do you put a hand together like that in no draws at all?
It sounds like JPML is kind of preparing in case our tournament tables end up as
that
those.
Was interesting. Yes. Was that at our last league?
Yeah, the last league session. They said, You know, a lot of the tables are becoming more and more automatic, so from now on, in all JPML tournaments or all JPML games, you need to wash the tiles.
A little bit.
Mix up the tiles before you drop them into the...
And, you know, actually, I'm not sure if I mentioned this before on our podcast, but there was a guy that did that a little bit on when I was playing at the best, at the round, the last 28 in Masters. The best 28, when I made it to the best 28 in Masters. This one guy, when it became his turn as dealer, he would always wash the tiles a little bit. And he would do it in this really big, broad, sweeping motion that he never did at all until it was his turn as dealer. And I really wanted to ask him after about the fourth or fifth time, I was like, well, you know what? You're late. Because the tiles that are coming up right now were already shuffled one hand ago. So why do you make this big show of shuffling the tiles every time you become dealer?
I think he was hinting to you.
I don't know.
It was a hint. It was like, look, I'm doing this. Why don't you guys do this every time too, jerk faces?
But he would stop doing it as soon as it wasn't his turn as dealer anymore.
Well, yeah, because he pushes the button when it's his turn as dealer.
I don't know. But this is also the guy who fouled twice... In addition to winning the last hand of the first game with a 1,000-point hand because he thought he was in first place because he didn't realize that Konno had lent me 10,000 points, so he actually had 10,000 more points than his scoreboard said. So I have to think this guy's a bit of a goof.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yes, yes. I want to be nice when I say these things. All right. Well, I think we've talked about some funny customers enough, and we've ripped on a few customers enough. I hope none of them are listening.
Yes.
Yes.
And
we
sorry
hope
if today was kind of a dumpster fire. We did our best.
Yes. Yes.
We're a bit tired.
And there just was not a lot happening in the world of Mahjong. Right. But there were a couple of events that were announced and are coming up that I did want to mention, in case anybody has a chance to get to the United States Pro Mahjong League's next event on Sunday, May 16th in New York, New York, Simple Studios again. They have another Reach event for people to play, although this event seems like they want players that have a little bit more experience than perhaps they had at some of the Learn to Play events. This is an event for people that have a little bit more experience. So go on to the USPML site and check that out if you want to get in on that. And the Dutch Reach Mahjong Club has announced a tournament in Doetinchem in October, I believe, if I remember. Yes, October 23rd. It'll be a two-day event. The first day will be on October 23rd, Saturday, which is just for the Dutch ranking. And the second day on Sunday will be for the MERS rated ranking. Excuse me.
It's MERS, so it's a MCR tournament, or it's a Reach tournament?
I thought it was going to be a Reach tournament.
I thought MERS was...
It's just the competition rules?
That's what I thought, but I may be wrong.
Huh, okay. Well, perhaps it's... could they possibly have Reach tournaments for the MERS ranking at all?
No? Possibly. They do have a Reach ranking, but I thought it was separate. Huh, I could be completely wrong, though. So.
All right, well, get on. I found that on Mahjong News, so if you'd like to find out a little bit more about that tournament in the Netherlands, the Dutch Reach Association.
And we have a Mahjong News feed on our site now.
Oh, yes, so you can go from us.
Yes.
Speaking of other things you can do from us, Reach or Mahjong Club?
Mahjong Club. Gemma and I are playing there twice a week. Come play with us. There's lots of Reach tournaments on there. I'm signed up for one tonight, actually.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Gotta get on that, huh?
It's in about an hour and a half.
All right.
Hope I make it.
You gotta get out there, then. Or you have to get out there, yes.
Right.
I probably have to go find a beer. All right, yes, and that wraps up our podcast for this time. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so if you'd like to get in touch with us, what is your address?
Jen, J-E-N-N, at reachmahjong.com.
And I am Garth, E-G-A-R-T-H-E, at reachmahjong.com.
Also, you can download this on iTunes. You should be able to. The new feed isn't on iTunes yet, but it will be very soon. So you can download on iTunes. We have a new, or we will in the next day or two, have a new podcast player on the website as well, in the upper right-hand corner.
So if you haven't been able to get this podcast...
No, you can listen to it on the web, but you can also subscribe to it on iTunes.
I know. I was trying to be really clever about saying that, you know, if you... announcing how to get our podcast on the podcast.
I know. It just sounded like you were making fun of me.
I know. Well, I yes. Maybe I'm just making fun of myself. I'm not very good at making a joke. All right. Well, thanks again for listening, and give us a call or give us a message if you'd like to talk to us, and we will come back at you again next week.
See ya. 어제 리젠에 입밭으로 미나미나마 다야리마쇼 메자스와 모치론 야크마쇼 모니와 제타이 가게마쇼 번지 리젠이 입밭으로 아가레바 기분와 모사이코 마쇼와 카나리 사비레타 자수 마잔 화이트 클라브 번지 럽 아 오니산 마타소레 론